The American Disabilities Act of 1990, known as ADA, set a standard for public accommodations for the disabled, things like elevators, hallways, and doorway access points that need to be built in such a way that a wheelchair can get through. But that's the physical world. You might not realize that the ADA extends to the virtual world as well. Our in-studio guest is Francine Wye, director of the Disabilities Communications Access Board, to talk about how a website needs to be, under the law, ADA compliant, right?
Correct.
Francine, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm trying to get my head around the whole idea of something intangible, like a website, being ADA compliant. What are the things that need to be addressed?
Well, it's very interesting. With just a little bit of historical perspective, when the ADA was passed, the Internet was really not a viable service, or at least it wasn't to the general public.
Yeah.
So when the ADA guidelines were first established in 1991, and they were promulgated by the Department of Justice, there was no such guideline or even mention of the word Internet, digital access.
Yeah.
We talked about the physical world, the building, which everyone's familiar with, curb ramps.
Staircases,
right? People talked about disabled person parking.
Mm-hmm.
People talked about sign language interpreters. People talked about Braille. People talked about service animals, all those things that we could literally go up and touch.
Mobility and communication.
Right. But life has evolved over the last two decades, more and more of how we offer services to people is through the Internet and through the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're going to talk today about website accessibility, but there are also other ways in which we get things through the digital world as well. We get things through television. We get things through Apple Watches. Mm-hmm. So there's really a huge world out there that was never contemplated by Congress or the people who drafted the ADA regulations. When you try to access a program and service of state government, almost everybody goes to www.hawaii.gov or California or mm-hmm. U.S. Department of Justice, wherever you might want to access. Or even if you want to buy something from Amazon, right? You don't walk to an Amazon store. Mm-hmm. You go online. So the web in particular has become the lifeline for people.
Well, let's say I have a little store, a physical store that also has a web mm-hmm. presence, and I want to be able to sell things online. What do I need to make sure I'm compliant with?
Okay. Well, I think we all think or know how the Internet works. So when you have a disability, you're primarily but not exclusively talking about people who have communication access needs. So you're talking about an individual who is blind or low vision. And when you look at the typical person looks at the website, they take their mouse and they kind of visually glance through the website.
Sure.
But you can't do that if you're blind or visually impaired. So people rely upon what are called screen readers. And screen readers will voice whatever is on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can imagine that in order to maybe see what's at the bottom of a scrolled screen, your screen reader will just voice to you everything that it sees on the screen, absolutely every word.
How do you do that? How if you're creating a website, how do you do that?
Well, I'm not a tech person. I'm not a web developer. But there are very specific standards, and these standards come through what's called the World Wide Web Consortium, which is the W3 Consortium, and they're called the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell you how to develop a website so that it can be read by a screen reader. They will tell you how to use graphics and photos so that someone who is blind will have what's called an alt text behind those photos, because you won't necessarily know that this is a seal of the state of Hawaii or mm-hmm. a particular graphic. So the people who code the website know or should know how to put what's called an alternate text behind so that the screen reader would read, this is a picture of...
A voice would actually, you yes, would hear a voice say it.
You would hear a voice say it. Your screen reader would say that. And if you have something that is animated or it has voice to explain, this is how a product works, then what you would have is a caption or an explanation for someone who is deaf who can't hear that.
Francine, I'm betting that I could find a lot of websites as I sit here in front of my laptop now that are not compliant.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and thousands.
Thousands of websites because...
What are the consequences?
Right now, web access is being litigated very heavily in court in all across the United States, primarily from blind groups, although I want to emphasize that the standard isn't just about people who are blind or low vision, because we're talking about having content that is audio be available in print format for someone who's deaf or hard of hearing. There are also guidelines to make sure that for people who are low vision, that you don't guide somebody by saying, choose the red button, because if you're colorblind, you can't distinguish between the red button and the green button, as an example. Don't design a website so that the background bleeds through the text and you can't differentiate if you have low vision. Use certain types of font. Don't, in fact, use visuals that are so dramatic that they can induce seizures. You may not think about that.
It sounds as if there are a great many things that
right.
we may not think about, but it sounds as if we might have to start pretty soon.
Yes, and people who have mobility disabilities who may use voice activation or who may only use a keyboard, you have to be able to design all your commands so that they can be activated in that manner rather than using a mouse to search on the screen. Everything has an alternate way.
I suspect that a lot of people are rethinking their web design on the basis of that. Francine, thanks very much for
talking
with us.
Thank you. It goes very quickly. Thank you.
Francine Wise is the director of the Disabilities and Communication Access Board. The public is invited to submit comments on draft amendments to communications access for persons who are deaf, hard of hearing, and deaf blind. You can find the link to do that on the Conversations Facebook page.